lone highway.
And rest stop creeps by
on the lone highway.
Pretty girls beware
out on the lone highway. On the lone highway. Lost a little honey on the lone highway. Left me for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway. Stroked a little girl's hair on the lone highway. On the lone highway. On the lone
highway. Okay. We are back for hour number two of the Scorpio International Holding Company, LLC. I am your host, Dave Scorpio. And in this hour, I'm going to bring on a man who I consider a friend, a brother, and a great researcher, Mr. Daryl Wayne Claymore. Daryl, you are on the air, sir. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm doing really good. I appreciated your first hour. It was we never planned these things, actually, what we're going to talk about in any detail. And so I found that really interesting.
What about it got your mind flowing, or where did this information take you on the first hour?
I've learned the hard way over 30 years to become rather cynical. Regrettably, I mean it's kind of a tough place to grow into, to be a perpetual cynic. Your first caller, the guy from New York there, he brought some really interesting perspective to how this. This is, shielded and sold, marketed as, organ donors, and, how this becomes a, custom and usage accepted into the normality. It then sort of disappears from sight. People don't even see it anymore. It hides in plain sight. And, So I appreciated that part. Of course, the whole general topic leads up to that, the whole conversation. The cynical part for me is that as horrendous of what I'm about to say, is that the scope and scale is really difficult for people to grasp. Even in times like this, is that you really can't think big enough, which is always surprising me about what they're about and the machinations they'll go through to achieve their agenda and their purpose. And having said that, I say this, that the politics, the superficial, in-your-face politics, the regular thing, and the genocide going on in Gaza is basically a cover for what they're really pulling off. That's horrible, isn't it? That they would actually use a genocide to cover, and the outrage of it to cover what they really actually want to achieve. In addition to that, they keep you focused on that. And what it is that they want to accomplish was revealed rather well, rather extremely well said in a little documentary about a month, maybe a month and a half ago, by a man by the name of Mr. Webb. You can find his hour and 11 minute long little documentary on YouTube or BitChute, I think, Rumble. And it's called The Great Taking. The Great Taking. And it lays out how they have already, not going to, how they have already not only laid the foundations for, but implemented and put in process a new private legal system that over the course of the last 50 years has acquired ownership of all your properties. I mean, all. Equity, securities, the land. Of course, any land or this thing called land that the U.S. government owns has already been collateralized in another hands long ago. And how this process of this private legal system that's now in control of all this will be used as as collateral is used in a time of default, bankruptcy, and that this is what this little documentary that he's put out reveals, and how it's to be done. So that's one point that I think everybody who is more interested in the next 2 to 3, 4, 5 years of their life is more interested in that than football scores. If you're more interested in that than football scores, you might want to, you know, he does an extremely good job laying this out better than I can recapitulate it over, you know, the period of time that we have remaining left here to talk about. But I just want to kind of start this out with a quote by Ezra Pound. Now, if you're not familiar with Ezra Pound, I'm not surprised because they delisted him, deplatformed him, put him in prison back in the late 1940s for telling the truth.
Yeah, I'll just give a brief let me just give a brief recapitulation that Ezra Pound was one of the most famous poets of the 20th century. He was a mentor to many people who went on to become very, very famous. And his works, the guy was truly a genius, a literary genius. He does a series of broadcasts during World War II from Italy, basically trying to warn the Western world that you are fighting the wrong enemy. You are fighting a war to defend usury, to defend central banking as we know it. And this is all going to end in disaster for the West if you fight this war. He was absolutely right. So he gets back to he gets captured when Italy fell, and he's taken back and charged with treason. He was facing the death penalty by Roosevelt and company, and they ended up locking him up. He was forced to basically plea insanity or face the death penalty. So he was locked up in St. Elizabeth's Hospital for 13 years in a mental hospital. That's crazy. Once he was finally released, he moved back to Italy in his final years. But he was also the man that told Eustace Mullins to write the very first book on the Federal Reserve System. And that's where Eustace Mullins got the idea or the seed for his book, Secrets of the Federal Reserve. So with that said, go ahead, Daryl.
Oh, that was a Ezra Pound would be proud of you. That was a that was an outstanding summary, Dave. Ezra Pound's quote here, he had many. This one is particularly operative here. It says, "The psyop technique of infamy is to start two lies at once and get people arguing heatedly over which is the truth." And that sort of goes along with your old statement of was it you or BB9? I think I've heard you both say, how about you two guys go over there and fight?
Let's you and them fight.
Let's you and them fight. And of course, this is exactly what the purpose of these conventional politics, I call them conventional politics, the superficial politics, are there to entertain and entrain you and keep your mind, draw you back into the rut. And it works very well. It works every 4 years extremely well. I don't expect it to be much different this year at all. I fully expect it to work.
So you're supporting Donald Trump this time, I assume. No, I'm just kidding.
My statement on that is to ask a question. If Donald Trump is anti-New World Order, why is he a Zionist?
Oh, yes, that's a great question. And why is his daughter married to a Chabad Lubavitch heavy hitter and even converted to that? And, of course, the man made his bones in Manhattan, New York City, of all places, the sort of the epicenter of Jewish power in the United States, other than Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Well, before we get off onto our other topic here, when I'm problem solving, I look for what are the contradictions. And, being anti-New World Order and pro-Zionist is a contradiction.
That's a great point. Yes.
That has to be unwound before I could move a step further. People have to resist the urge of suggestibility and operating on stereotypes and, automatic axiomatic responses, condition programming. You have to stop doing that. Okay. They take advantage of that. And I think your last caller brought that up pretty good, that whole subject matter. Your previous conversation also too is interesting, is that it involved a lot of discussion about corpses.
Yeah.
And dead or dying people. And so then that sort of is kind of a corny segue for me to, introduce the idea and talk about the idea of a corporation, corpus, corporation, corpus.
Yes. So the root of that is body. Absolutely. And Daryl, I find this a fascinating topic, partly because, the World Economic Forum is meeting right now, of course. And one of the big takeaways from, if you want to just look at it from 30,000 feet, as you like to say, is that we're entering into an age of open corporate governance. That's part of what they're talking about very openly there. And it's also bringing the idea of you have these experts who aren't elected that are going to set policy for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, thanks for pointing that out. Dave, these unelected bureaucrats are corporate bureaucrats are experts because they went to expert school. They went to expert school.
Yes.
And of course, you and I didn't go to expert school. this is part of the conditioning the general population has to reject, is that people with pedigrees and white lab coats and these pompous and pious titles deserve any recognition or respect at all. Now, note, I'm not talking about engineers, electronics, real architects and building designers, material experts, people who actually design and build things. You know, I'm not talking about those people at all. I'm talking about these people that operate under these, political scientists and social engineers, and they find some sort of ingratiating, preposterous pretense, a personage to appellation to apply to themselves, and
lots of letters after their name.
And if they run out of letters after, they start putting them in front. in all sincerity, I would recommend you ridicule these people and show them utter contempt. And that's a really good step in breaking your obedience cycle, where you've conditioned your whole life to be obedient to authority, and this authority, as you're finding out, is an alien authority. It's other than what it appears to be. So
yeah, that's a good term. Actually, you're right, absolutely, it is alien in several ways. It's foreign. It's an ideology that doesn't resonate with the people in the country that the government is supposedly governing.
Right. Yeah. Supposedly. Ostensibly. Yeah. You know, that's a key word, right? Used right there, Dave. Supposedly. That falls in. So when you use that word, supposedly, that falls under the category of, I might have something wrong.
Well, Darryl, what is your definition of a corporation in the modern sense? How would you define that?
You can use the colloquial definition as the general population understands it. Is a body of a group of body a person or a group of persons operating together in commerce. Okay, that's and then there's that's just a very superficial definition, and then there's all sorts of lawyer and attorney experts out there, then we'll start to take that word and apply a legal constructs and words and legalisms that would take 100 volumes to fill up. And this all supposedly gives it some sort of wonderful legitimacy. Because of these legal constructs, but the history of the corporation, as it became to be known, started in towards the tail end of King Henry VIII's reign in England, and part of this had to do with the debt that he was in. It also had to do with liberal capital and money. You know, Henry had need for that. And a way to fund England. And this idea of the corporation started to gain strength and manifest itself in England under Henry VIII. It really gets rolling with Queen Elizabeth I is where it really starts to organize itself. Coming out of the 1560 wars that England was foisting, wars of aggression that they were foisting upon the Irish Catholics, and the adventurers, they called them adventurers. I called them psychopathic murderers. The adventurers that went to Ireland to subjugate it, and those men, and through the 1570s and 80s and 90s, the whole host of them become the pirates and privateers and what was called the adventurers. Of course, you can always count on the English to use these wonderful flowery euphemisms of theft.
Okay, yes, we're at the first break, Daryl. You're getting some real meat on the bones here right now, so hold that thought, and we're going to get into corporations and what they really are and what is coming because of this paradigm that we're entering into. And it ain't pretty, guys. It ain't pretty. Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Okay, we are back. And before the break, Daryl, I got the feeling, I hope I'm wrong here, I got the feeling that you were trying to imply that a group of bankers and financiers would actually get kings into debt and then control policy and maneuver the king from behind the scenes by controlling debt. You weren't trying to imply that, were you, Daryl?
Well, not really directly at that point. Eventually, this is what transpires. But initially, it's this whole idea is sold as a way for sovereign realms, kingdoms, kings and queens, to acquire extra territory and conduct trade and increase commerce for, you know, their nation or realm. So in the beginning, it doesn't really necessarily start out that way. Of course, you know, these things always change as these relationships always change as time goes on. If I fast forward through the Queen Elizabeth period here, towards the end of her reign, she, I believe she died in 1602. But the corporations that she chartered continued on in life. Probably the most important one of her time that she actually chartered, gave birth to life, existence as an entity, was the British East India Company in 1600. And the British East India Company goes on to be the primary driving force for the settlement of North America, which you're not told. Their founder, Thomas Smythe, was part of the Virginia Company, the British East India Company, and his successor, Sandy, was the one who negotiated and was part of the granting for the Charter of the Pilgrims. This is not really brought into the Walt Disney history, McDonald's narratives of history, you know, in your you know, Marxist textbooks. So the corporation was also known as a colony. It was also known as a plantation. It was also known as a company. So it went under the guise of any number of different names, and there were all sorts of varieties of different corporations. And each one of them was unique in that each one of them that was granted this entity of a corporation had specific rules for what its capacities and capabilities were, what its immunities were, what its privileges were. In the case of the British East India Company, it involved trading, commerce, transportation, acquisition and ownership of territory, and the governance of people. It could conduct war and establish and enforce its own laws. Extra outside of British laws. So it's a, in and of itself, this thing that is actually not alive, can't be held accountable, can't be put in, held to justice, can't be put in prison, is created. This is a, this is rather fascinating. And all the while, it conducts itself, the corporation conducts itself as if it were a living entity from the standpoint of the law, because it's a person.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. So I'm going to stop there for just a second to give anybody who's interested another really good little video that I highly recommend to everybody. It can also be found on YouTube. It has remarkably few views, not surprising. And the name of the video is from, it's from about 15 years ago, and it's called The Mystical Body of Business, Why Corporations Have the Rights of Persons. And this is by Dr. Eugene McCarver. He also wrote a book called The Enchantment, The Enchantments of Mammon, which I'm presently reading. And he's no fan of corporations, by the way. And you start to learn things about corporations that you never would have associated with them.
Yes, Daryl, we're at the final break of the show here. So hold that thought, everyone stay tuned. And I think this is why corporations were ruled to have free speech by the Supreme Court. Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Okay, we are back. The Scorpio International Holding Company, LLC. I am your host, Dave Scorpio. That was our final break. I'm here having a conversation with Mr. Daryl Wayne Claymore. And we're going a deep dive in the corporations. But everyone, please remember to, you know, take the time and money to go on the RBN website and donate what you can to keep this bastion of free speech alive. Because it takes money to keep all things going in this system, including RBN. So please do what you can to help out. And Daryl, right before the break, you were talking about corporations have the right of human beings, essentially. And that's why I believe, of course, the Supreme Court ruled that corporations have the right to free speech.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting how something that's not alive can actually speak, isn't it? so I guess you would have to do a seance and have some sort of necromancy, talking to spirits or something. How does a dead entity speak? Well, let me tie up a couple of little knots here quick. The corporation, as the English that would become the British understood, could do things that the sovereign state couldn't do openly. One of them was to conduct piracy by attacking the Spanish ships, the Iberians, and engaging in this nasty little business of slave trading from the Ivory and Barbary coasts. And conducting private war, this is what a privateer was, using false flags. And so the state could hide behind the activities of the privateers and deal in slavery. England's always been a narco nation. They built their bones on being a narco nation, drug dealers and traders. And but they always had the ability to use euphemisms and use plausible deniability in their activities, all the while giving license to the people that were doing it and then taking their cut in the corporations. Okay. Let's make no excuses here. Francis Drake and Humphrey Gilbert were pirates. Okay. They were criminals. But you know, the history is written, and for that matter, Sir Walter Raleigh. They were written off as these wonderful swashbuckling sorts of characters, and all you have to do is watch the movies in black and white from the 1950s, and you'll see that they were wonderful people. But
well, yeah, history is written by the victors, of course. And I think you made a good point earlier that the term false flag actually has a maritime origin.
Absolutely, of course. This is their favorite trick because they can control the setup for it, and so this is a well honed, well developed technique that's worked for hundreds and hundreds of years. The British are extremely good at it. I'll go back to the British East India Company here. From 1600 up until about 1775, you know, that period of time, right before right at the beginning of the Revolutionary War in America, over the course of about 175 years, this corporation is the single most wealthiest and powerful political society on planet Earth. Make no doubts about it. It is a private political society. It has an army of 200,000 men. It provides more than 50% of the British domestic product. It has its own lobbyists in Parliament. and is basically running the show. Not King George. British East India is. And this is all done from an office in London that has 35 employees. That's a corporation.
Right.
Well, the representative of this corporation during its wealthiest period was a guy by the name of Robert Clive, who basically asset strips India, and in the process of doing it, through like 1770, results in the deaths of millions and millions of Indians of four different provinces through starvation, because they asset stripped it so much that there wasn't any food stores left or the ability capacity to produce them in the time of famine. And we literally had millions of people die. And even during this period of time when people were dying, under the rule, the governance, the corporate governance of this corporation, this private political society, they were still using their hired mercenary army, the sepoys, to continue to asset strip every remaining shred of wealth in India and return it to London to the stockholders. And when it all collapsed, they used a fall guy whose name was Warren Hastings to take the fall for it. And they put him on trial in 1788. They put Warren Hastings on trial in 1788. And Edmund Burke, who had a four-day-long opening statement at the trial of Warren Hastings on the rape of Bengal, makes his opening statement. I said all that to just set this up for this little sentence I'm going to read you. This is what Edmund Burke says at the trial of Warren Hastings. He says, "Corporations have neither bodies to be punished nor souls to be condemned. They therefore do as they like." Huh. Interesting. And yeah. So it's sort of mystical, isn't it? You know, that sort of, there seems like sort of a somewhat almost like a supernatural component there, doesn't it?
Yes, and, absolutely.
And then you have Dr. Eugene McCarrier talking about the mystical body of business. Oh, wait a minute. He's using the word mystical. Oh, wait a minute. I have an idea. Does this connect somewhere else? Well, about 3 weeks ago, I was standing out by my CNC milling machine watching aluminum chips fly around the world like I'm apt to do. And it hit me. I go, this has always been right in front of me and I never saw it. See, the people, the stockholders, the people that control the corporations, the NGOs, they need a mechanism by which to affect their purpose. They need something. They need a mechanism to do what they do without having government directly do it. And I go, oh my, I think this fits with some scripture I've read before that never made any sense to me. So I went to Ephesians, book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 12. And it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, the princes of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness which are in the high places. But wait. I said, you know, there's something missing here. So I said, well, you know, the King James Version of the Bible was written by a pedophile sodomite, or it was commissioned by him anyway. King James was a pedophile sodomite. Particularly nasty, disgusting little man. And Francis Bacon was probably the chief editor of the King James when he was a Templar. So I go, let me go to my Geneva Bible, my 1560 Geneva Bible, 50 years before the King James Version came out. And this is what the Geneva Bible says in the same verse, which is why it was modified, why it was changed. And here's what the Geneva Bible says. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against worldly governors, the princes of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness which are in high places. The Geneva Bible specifically delineates and says worldly governors. That is your governments.
Yes, that's a very important distinction. So how do you think this ties in, or in what way does this tie into the concept of corporate governance, which we're seeing come manifest now openly on the world stage, in World Economic Forum and other things, this whole idea of a technocratic future government as well?
Well, the corporation comes from the sovereign realm. So like in King Henry's period or Queen Elizabeth and then subsequently so on and so forth, the sovereign had the right to create these corporate political charters. These are political charters. They are governments of in and of to themselves. If you go back and review what I said about the British East India Company charter, an example, they are given authority of government. They can own, hold land. They can rule over people. They can create their own laws. They can enforce those laws. They can lay and collect their own taxes.
And so basically you're laying out a sort of a vision or a concept that the British East India Company was actually the de facto government of England for many years, of India, I should say, possibly England too.
I'm not even hinting at that. I'm saying absolutely. In fact, it was recognized as such.
Yes.
And this model, understand that the British East India Company was the most powerful corporation maybe the world's ever known in regards to what it could do. And this is not lost on history or people that know history and people that want to have their own fiefdoms, their own territory, their own private corporate governance. Now, what happens when the created takes control of the creator? Well, that's what happened. That's what you're experiencing right now, and you can't identify it because the corporation is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. And the corporations, we have corporations right now on this, well, in Europe and in particularly in the America, that have their own foreign policies. They have completely separate agendas as to what you thought an American body politic is. Let me remind you something here. The corporation governs almost every aspect of your life, and for all the people that are listening, the corporation does. By the way, if you didn't know it, I believe it's USC 28-3002 defines the United States government as a corporation. I'd like to know who the stockholders are.
Well, that's a good question. That's sort of a mystery, isn't it? Are the stockholders of the Federal Reserve Bank? That's been a bit of a mystery over the years as well.
Right. So once you start to pull the cover back from this veneer that the corporation has, you start to ask really hard questions. So the... You know, we're kind of running out of time, so let me just kind of round this up in a sort of circle here a little bit from where I started with my first topic there about the little video called The Great Taking and how the Seed Corporation and the Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation, by the way, those are both corporations, by the way, they're held in trust in the City of London that own all the registration and entitled to all the property in equity and most of the land in this place. How as corporations, when the United States government defaults, which it will soon, how they can foreclose on all that and transfer everything you thought you had into the hands of others and then legally repossess it. They can do it by the changing of law, which has already been done in all 50 states. That law that was changed has been done under the Uniform Commercial Code. Uniform means universal. Universal can be applied to mean one world, a one world law. Uniform Commercial Code law is private law, by the way. And that is what actually rules your life through the corporations. Now, when you work for a corporation, you're an employee. You're an asset. Assets are properties. You can buy and sell assets. When you work for a corporation, let me ask something, Dave. When you work for a corporation, do you have freedom of speech?
Absolutely not. I mean, we've seen that people deplatformed, and so on and so forth.
When you work for a corporation, can you come and go as you want?
Again, no.
No. And now, even if you're not in those hours of employment, if you try to exercise your free speech, you can be fired. You can be sanctioned. Now, is this against constitutional law? Well, constitutional law, or these things called the Bill of Rights, what people call Bill of Rights, has no applicability when you are an asset, a property of a corporation. It's really quite simple. The corporations, I'm going to make this real clear for you here, so I don't want to be ambiguous with people. Corporations serve many purposes, surprisingly, ignorant conservative libertarians and all sorts of such support them under free enterprise, which they are not. That's another part of ignorance that is going to come up to bite you. These creatures are neither public nor private. They're entirely something else. In fact, they are fascist. And their sole purpose is to create a monopoly. And that's what happens at the end of the game in that little board game you used to call when somebody owns it all. That's when the game's over, and that's where you're at on the game board right now.
Right. And that's when you, that's a great one. That's when you win, when you get the monopoly. Yeah. And that's what is right. This concept of rights? We speak about rights. We have our rights under the Constitution. What do rights mean under a corporation?
Whatever they say they are.
Yeah.
Figure that one out.
Yeah, that really is a good explanation or a good answer. You mentioned the City of London being part of this, and it's interesting that, even the Queen has to ask permission to enter the city of London. That shows you, because you know they're all about ceremony and ritual.
Right.
The fact that the queen has to ask, or king, now the king, has to ask permission to enter the city of London. I think that's very significant.
Yeah, well, it's huge. It's telling you right up front, it's just not pomp and circumstance. It's actually how the power structure works. It's when the creature has taken over the creator. So if we go back to this little idea of how they're going to use this private law to take everything from everybody and put you back in the not feudal system, but the chattel system, by using law, they're going to tell you, well, this is all legal and it's all law. And by the way, it's fraud. It's fraud on its face. But here's the catch that you need to be warned about ahead of time. It's a much bigger conversation, but I'm just trying to give you the tip of the iceberg here. They're going to say, well, you know, we have a legal right to do all this because we own these properties, and this is legally, you know, how it is. And you're going to say, well, no, but because it's been put into the law, a legal form of law, they're going to use the government that they own to enforce it. How do you enforce a fraud legally? Well, you do it with government. And this is, you heard it here. You will see this transpire over the next year or two. They will start using.
How do you see that transpiring, and what? How will this manifest?
You'll get a knock on the door and a letter in the mail.
I see. Yes. Well, Daryl, this hour just flew by so quickly. I got to have you back on in a couple weeks, and let's touch on this again, because again, we just scratched the surface. Okay, guys, that's it. 2 hours down the chute. I want to thank Daryl for coming on, and there's some great information, and we're going to continue this soon. Thanks for everyone listening, and until next week, take care. Bye-bye. On the lone highway,
I'm Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.